Scepter Productions, or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Thursday. Every other Thursday, we do the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy, and today's show is being brought to you by House of Pain. House of Pain has the best t-shirts and the best gear in the world, the real gear, the legal gear, to help you lift and get stronger and look better while you're doing it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the House of Pain banner ad and show them some love for supporting this show. This is roundtable discussion number 20. The main topic of discussion today will be speed work, but we also have listener questions to answer, more t-shirts to give away, and we're going to be catching up with Coach Wade Johnson at his training as he gets ready to compete again at the ripe young age of 47. Right, Wade?
47 when this meet comes about, yes.
Okay, and we have Rob Regish, perpetual guest on Superhuman Radio now, and author of The Blueprint and formulator of Mass Pro Synthogen. How you doing, Rob?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me back, Carl.
Of course, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. I have to say something. You know, anytime I use a supplement that's provided by a sponsor, I generally don't kind of talk about it on the air because I don't want to influence people by my potentially skewed response because they are advertisers, obviously. But I have to tell you, I went out last night, drank a little bit more than I should have, and also ate some oysters. And one of them may have been a little bad. I'm not sure. I woke up this morning. I've never felt this way before. I felt like vomiting. I just felt terrible. And about an hour ago, I decided I need to get in gear. So I drove back to the house and I picked up my jug of Craze. I haven't been using Craze lately. And I took one scoop of it. And I got to tell you, I had to find this here. Wait, let's see. Oh, I was trying to play something. It's the thing from Young Frankenstein's where he goes, it's alive, and it's not playing. But I got to tell you something. I totally feel better just by taking that one scoop of Craze. Wade, have you tried Craze yet?
I have not. I will say this, and I know, I'm not an endorsee or anything, but I am currently using the Mass Pro Synthogen and trying to put it through its paces because, you know, I told Rob that there'd be no BS. I'm going to try to make this fail. I'm going to do my very best to make it fail. And, I'm not taking the only, I take this morning thing, you know, pre-workout thing that I use, that's just a cocktail of different herbs and things of that, and Mass Pro Synthogen, and I'm using a few joint supplements and a couple of other things, and I gotta tell you, you know, cause usually I take this whole battery of glutamine and, you know, and all these other things, and when Rob and I discussed it, and he wanted me to put it through the paces, I discontinued all that to see how my recovery would be. And so there are certain things that you can use. And what I got to say is this supplement is a winner.
You don't endorse anything. I know that for a fact.
So it's one of those things where, you know, there's a couple of companies that I really like and I use their stuff, but I don't work for them. You know, they don't give me anything. And, you know, I'm about halfway through a bottle of the Mass Pro Synthogen, and I'm only using it. I'm not using it every day. I'm using it on my heavy powerlifting training days, and I got to say, I'm pleasantly surprised at how well I'm recovering.
Well, we were going to talk about this, and we are going to talk about your progress towards the end of the show. But I have to say, there's a YouTube video that you put up with you working up to a 750-pound squat where you did – how many sets of doubles did you do with 750?
Three sets of two.
I mean, and Wade, the control in which you go down into the hole And you spring out, and the bar like starts like it looks like bird wings. It's flapping at the top because
right.
you spring out, and I have to keep reminding myself that's 750 pounds.
Well, that you know that looks impressive on paper, but you know when I was bigger and when I you know before I had taken you know a hiatus from competitive training, you know it wasn't uncommon for me you know to be doing doubles with 900 plus pounds, and that you know I know how ridiculous that sounds, but I think what happens is that you know once it's somewhat, you know, like the cliche, once you've learned how to ride a bike, you never forget.
Right.
It's just one of those things where while I took some time away from competitive training, I was still training. So it's not like, you know, I wasn't in the gym for 18 months. So
right.
it's just one of those things where, you know, I think the years and years of training and knowing mechanically what to do, you know, and when you come from a, you know, from basically 300 pounds, you know, more, in your max, your best squat, you know, I think there's still a lot more in the tank, so we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, and we're going to talk about that later in the show, but right now we want to talk about speed work. There's a lot of people out there who claim that speed work has to be part of your training, that it does something different than just getting under the bar and lifting very, very heavy and shooting for max weights time and time again. I know Louis Simmons, I've heard, is a proponent of speed training, but then I've also heard some other information come out of Westside where there's a lot of guys up there who don't necessarily believe that speed training provides greater increases in strength. Now, I'm going to go to Rob first because I want to find out, first of all, is speed training part of the blueprint, Rob?
Yes and no, and by that I mean Westside is a winner. It's clearly by itself, blueprint or not. What we do in blueprint is I have had many guys use the Westside template within phase two of the blueprint, which is the feast phase. And they do use speed work. Most of them benefit from it greatly. I think the discrepancy that you might be finding is, you know, it's there's always a missing link in your training somewhere. It may or may not be speed work. A good indicator that it might be is, have I done any speed work in the last 6 to 8 weeks? Because if you haven't, it's a good bet that your bar speed has dropped and you can benefit from it.
So why does bar speed even matter, Wade?
Well, I think one of the things, you'll hear me, and if you watch any of the videos, where in the descent of the bench press or in the squat, you know, it's to get into the hole or get the bar to the chest, what we use pace, not necessarily speed. The idea is with bar speed, at least in my opinion, is that when we're coming out of the hole or coming off the floor or coming off the chest, that we're being as dynamic as possible, because heavy weight will respond how you treat it. It doesn't matter, you know, what's going on. If you treat it heavy, it's going to respond heavy. And so by being dynamic and being explosive, we can get that weight moving. And a lot of times that momentum is what carries you through the, you know, to the top. That's very oversimplification. But the idea is, if we're muscling it, we're taking pounds off of our lifts. If we're going slow and feeling the weight, you know, if I stood there and was trying to feel, you know, 1,000 plus pounds in the squat and then just tried to muscle it out of the hole, I'd be done. It's that speed, that the bar speed of me coming out of the hole and coming off the chest, you know, that allows me to lift that kind of weight, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting when you look at mechanics and physics in general, right? You take an elevator, for instance. An elevator has something called a bumper capacitor that loads up with a large volume of voltage. And all it does, as it's called, a bumper capacitor, all it does is when the elevator goes from a standstill to a move, it blasts and gets it moving. I'm talking about an inch of movement. And then the motor can take it from there and keep it going. But if you didn't have that bumper capacitor, the motor could not move
right.
the elevator from a dead stop. So really, it sounds to me like what you're saying is what speed work really does is really at by training the speed work, it's not the entire rep that you're really gathering. It's really that explosive start, but you can't do the explosive start without finishing the rep out. Does that make sense?
I agree with that.
Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it makes total sense. And just to boil it down for everybody, the advantage of using speed work is this. Force equals mass times acceleration. So instead of trying to add more mass to the bar, more weight to the bar every session, the idea here is to also work the other side of that coin, which is moving the bar faster. If you look at traditional Western linear periodization, it starts relatively light with more volume and ends extremely heavy with very little volume. And once you get down to max day, yes, you may be able to press that new higher weight, but guaranteed the bar is moving a lot slower. So by working both, you are able to preserve both strength qualities and not lose one as the periodized model progresses, and that is known as conjugate periodization, as Westside refers to it.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. I want to take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about different approaches to speed work, the periodization of it, the sets, the reps, and so on, how each of you prescribe it for yourself and your clients. Coach Johnson, please plug your websites.
You can find me at weightliftingdiscussion.com. That's a forum where we post our training. Johnson Strength Group will tell you about the gym and Ogreware. And then I have a personal Facebook page and a Johnson Strength Facebook page, and we're still working on that. And I can be reached at both supersquat800@yahoo.com and johnsonstrength@yahoo.com.
And, of course, if you want to learn more about Rob Regish, his book is The Blueprint. His product is Mass Pro Synthogen. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the appropriate banner ad. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bar, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie, pie, and strawberry cheesecake. But you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy acquisition, brought to you by House of Pain. Would you like to win a House of Pain t-shirt? Send your questions in for Coach Johnson and Rob Regish to onair@superhumanradio.com. And if your question is selected, you will receive a House of Pain t-shirt that you could proudly wear into your gym that says, "I'm serious about what I'm doing." Okay. So let's start out with you, Coach Johnson. What do you do in the way of speed work? And if not yourself, what do you prescribe for clients that you feel speed work is important for them? How often? What are the types of workouts that you're looking at?
Most of the stuff that we do for speed generally happens in the deadlift, and that, you know, that's because, you know, it's the lift you don't have both the eccentric and concentric movement, or up and down, just to simplify it. Getting the weight moving, you know, from a dead stop, you know, is the challenge that the deadlift brings. That's different than the other two power lifts. So we do work speed in that manner. With the bench press, it's one of those things where I try to make sure that after we've done a couple of sets like the bar and maybe 95 pounds in the bench press, that we spend the as opposed to having a set aside time or a session for speed work, we make sure that we use our warm ups. You know, as a method of training for, you know, the speed. So as far as when we prescribe it, I generally, you know, this goes back to the reactive wave method that you and I have done a show on a number of years ago.
Right.
When I see that the lifter is a little tired or a little burnt, we'll lighten the weight and focus more on being explosive. As far as how we prescribe it and how often or frequency, I try to once a month where we really focus on speed more than we do, you know, any type of max attempt or heavy lifting. And that's all, you know, based on, you know, the reactive wave method that we use, you know, to make sure that we're not burning ourselves out. But I don't do it every week, and there's opinions on why. But to answer your question, we probably prescribe it on squat and on deadlift about once a month, and just once in a while if we need to on the bench press. If everybody's bar speed is good, I don't set aside special time for it.
Do you go with a specific percentage of one rep maximum when you're focusing on speed work?
It depends on the lift. I do so more for bench press. That seems to be the one where, you know, the bar weight being, you know, considerably lighter in that, you know, 40 to 60% range. With the deadlift, you know, I'll take off 100 pounds, and even in the squat, you know, anywhere from 100 to 200 pounds, depending on on, you know, the proficiency and the strength level of the lifter. Because I think there's a detriment, you know, to going too light. It'd be much akin to, you know, I've got a car that I, you know, drag race in, and to make it go faster, you know, I'm going to take all the components out of it, all the extra seats, all the extra everything. And, of, you know, by nature of the car being lighter, it's going to go faster. But it all changes when you have to put everything back, or, you know, in this case, where you're putting all the weight back on the bar, it's going to drive differently, you know, with all of it.
Yeah,
you know,
I could see how there would be a point of diminishing returns, because let's say, for lack of better, and Rob, please jump in here with what I'm about to say, but let's say, for lack of better increments, you're moving, the bar, let's say, 100 inches in a second, let's say, just for the sake, okay? And so you may be able to do that 100 inches in a second with 135, 225, and 315. Why do it with 135 and 225? You should just do it with 315. If after 315 you can no longer move at that speed, then that's the sweet spot for your speed work, in my humble opinion, and I know nothing about it. Do you have any comments to make about that, Rob?
I do. As a matter of speaking, most of my guys don't compete in powerlifting, so that's number one. However, if they do, or if one of their big barbell lifts is suffering, and I suspect bar speed is an issue, here are the general recommendations. For the bench press, the recommendation will be take 50% of your one repetition max and anywhere between 6 and 8 sets of 3 repetitions with about 45 seconds in between sets. Likewise, on the squat and deadlift, of 50% or thereabouts of your one rep max, and there we opt to do a little bit less, in other words, repetition-wise. You'll see between 8 and 10 total sets with just 2 repetitions for the squat and deadlift. Now, a little bit about why. If you study the bench press, and the actual amount of time a lifter will strain to make a max lift, it's about as long as it takes to do 3 very fast repetitions. The same is also true on the squat and the deadlift. Those are separate days. They are not speed work is not done on heavy days, and I believe that's consistent with Westside's template, or at least the original thinking on such.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on. And I just want to interject something here. So hold your thought. Don't lose it. The 50% of one rep max was really elucidated by a lot of the research, well done research that Charles Staley did when he developed, the escalating density, template. Because he showed that at the 50% of one rep max, you can develop the maximum amount of force and speed simultaneously. Is that not true?
It actually goes back much farther. And Louis Simmons and Westside will tell you this. They took it from the original from the Russian research or former Soviet research. Mm. And you will find that in the book Super Training, which is a little technical, but establishes a number of things, one of which is speed work is needed in most cases, given that equation of force equals mass times acceleration. And secondly, the other benefit that speed work brings to a lot of guys that are chasing big numbers, it brings some volume back into the picture. Because 8 sets of 3 repetitions or 10 sets of 2 repetitions in a condensed amount of time, you know, given those 45-second rest periods.
Density, right?
Density. Now density has returned to their training. And density, as we know, is the physiological trigger, one of them, a big one, for muscle growth. Total tonnage done work done per unit of time.
Right.
It's a simple math equation. You want the machine to get bigger, you need to stimulate muscle growth, you need to make that give that engine a reason to get bigger, and that's what this kind of work does.
Wade, my statement before about finding the sweet spot, the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. If you're moving 135 and 225, let's just take a squat or a deadlift, and 315 are all moving at the same speed, You can't, you know, you're not moving any fast. Cause let's face it, there are mechanical leverages at, and kinesiology at work here that just because it's lighter doesn't mean you're going to move faster. So finding the sweet spot has to be the real magic in speed work. Once you get to that maximum, weight that you are now moving just as fast as you did the minimum weight, doesn't that dictate where your speed work should start?
I'm going to say something that I always say. I really think a lot of how, you know, the lifter being stimulated by the training is such an individual thing.
Okay.
And I think by and large, I think your theory is mostly correct. But, like, for me, I followed it. I did the 9 sets of 3. I did 3 varying grips. I did just bar weight on certain sessions. I used the accommodating resistance of bands and chains, and all I managed to do was get sore, and I never seemed to get faster. So for me, I had to change. And so I kind of went a different route as opposed to going 50%. I would lessen the weight and not do near the volume, for my speed sessions. I would try to find a weight in the 75% range roughly. You know, most of the time it was, you know, I'll take off a plate and kind of see how, you know, my speed is. But I would shorten my rest intervals. And, you know, the idea was I still wanted to have some stress of weight. I don't want to take me being a 700-pound deadlifter and using 350 pounds when obviously I'm going to move it, you know, super, super fast because it's so light. It's kind of a misnomer. You know, for me, it was better for me to stay in the 450 to 550 pound range and do singles. Now, keep that in mind where I absolutely agree with Rob with the density, we set up our assistance, you know, to get that density. And that's kind of where I stray away from the typical periodization and the typical West Side template. So I think it's an individual thing, but for me, what I have had the most success with is I still practice speed, but it is at a much heavier weight and not quite the volume.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts about speed work before we go into the break? Because when we come back, we got some listener questions to answer, and then we're going to talk about Coach Johnson's training. Any other thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, I have one because this helped me immensely. If you're going to give this a try, let's say theoretically you set yourself up for a speed day on the bench, 6 sets of 3 repetitions, 45 seconds in between sets with 50% of your 1 rep max, videotape it. Don't have somebody just watch you, but have somebody videotape it. And I think what you're going to find is you will very clearly see there comes a point after X number of sets and or repetitions where the bar speed starts to slow, and that is your cue to exit stage right. You know, terminate your speed work at that point, because after that, you're not getting faster. You're getting slower. Reap every benefit you can. The video camera will tell you down to the rep where that is.
What about you, Coach Johnson? Any final thoughts about speed work?
I got to agree with Rob here. On my right now with deadlift, we're front squatting, trap bar lifting, and we're going heavy there. And then from the floor, I'm doing a speed type template that is from an old West Side protocol. And what I did is I videotaped my first rep, because I'm only doing singles, and then whatever was halfway of the volume that I was prescribed that day, I'm doing it halfway, and then my last one. And if you look at those videos, you'll see, you know, as a guide, just like Rob said, what I want to do is I want to see the amount of speed. Is there any degradation in speed from 50% of my workload to the very end? So I think that's really, really important. And finally, don't get hung up on just the speed aspect, that you just have to do it. I think the time to prescribe doing speed in your training is when you're having a bar speed problem. I think otherwise you can go about your training as you typically would. I think people get too hung up on doing speed for the sake of speed, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got listener questions, and these are really good questions. They continue to get better and better. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. This is Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right. Check this out.
Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. An aromatase inhibitor shown to be stronger than ATD and 6-oxo and a SERM to rival tamoxifen. Finally, muscle-building testosterone levels. Finally, Formax. Old-school testosterone boosters never did quite work that well because they fell short of critical levels of testosterone needed to build muscle. They only controlled estrogen. That's like flooring a gas pedal connected to a four-cylinder engine. No matter how hard you push, the engine isn't going to run any faster. Formax changes that by signaling each level of testosterone production, replacing your old four-cylinder with a supercharged V12. Get Formex. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Formex banner ad today. You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw: the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharge immediately.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just got some exciting news from our webmaster. The Unleash Your Inner Strength, the 7 Keys to Concentration CD and course materials are now available in the Superhuman Radio store. Brooks Kubik's fantastic lecture on increasing strength through concentration, and give 7 specific techniques and exercises to help you improve your ability to concentrate on the movements and become stronger. It's there now. For those of you who've been waiting, go to superhumanradio.com and click the e-store to learn more. Okay, we've got questions. We've got questions and we've got t-shirts to give away. And actually, 2 of the questions are very, very similar. I'm going to read them individually because they have different reasons for, but let's start out with this one here. Barry Jones says, first of all, he says, "Hi, I'm a big fan of your show and advice that your guests, Coach Johnson and Rob, give. So here's my question. Ever since I was very young, I've been a skinny guy, but my legs have always been proportionally thicker than my upper body. For a long time, I have wanted to achieve the 300, 400, 500 goal for the big lifts. My problem is this. My squat goes up very regularly and steadily. I'm creeping towards a 400-pound squat, but my other lifts do not progress anywhere near the same rate. My bench lags at 160. My deadlift is just under 300. Is it bad to have the lifts so disproportional to each other? That's the first question. What do you think about that, first of all? Let's start out with you, Coach Johnson, since you are a power lifter.
I don't think that it's necessarily a negative thing. It, without seeing the lifter lift and what his training is, it's hard to go in depth. But his situation is not so much, you know, like mine, especially early on. My bench press was so terrible. And for me, I could go in and can still go in. And if I just squat and I do the work with just the squat, my squat will improve. I'm just naturally built for it. I have the knack for it, and it's the lift that I am most technically proficient in and the most confident. Probably what I lack the most confidence in is my deadlift, but that used to be bench press. And what I had to do was really tear down everything and at one point start over and change the way that I trained it. So the big thing is it a terrible thing? No, it actually happens quite a bit. Even really, really good elite level lifters, you'll find that they'll do two of the three lifts very proficiently and struggle a little bit at one. And it's rare, you know, like someone like a Gary Frank or a Dave Hoff, or even Donnie Thompson, something like that. You know, these are guys that are proficient at all three lifts and don't seem to have a real weak point. But that is, I mean, you're talking about the best of the best. And so I think probably what he's suffering from is like a lot of bodybuilders that have a favorite body part and they'll train those body parts because the progress comes so readily and so easily. Probably needs to look at the training and break that down and see what needs to be done, you know, to start bringing those lifts up. But I wouldn't panic, you know. It sounds like he's a lot like me, that his squat is the lift that he responds the most to, that comes to him most naturally. So he's just going to have to address some training issues and be patient.
Okay, so Rob, any issues with being so disproportionately strong, you think?
Potentially, yes. I'm going to take the opinion that there, if the imbalance is so, if there's a big chasm between these lifts, then yes, it would cause me some concern. And that's simply because, when you are adept at squatting, right? Wade said it was his squat is his money lift. He's very comfortable with it. There's a natural inclination for the trainee to gravitate towards that and go with their strengths. Unfortunately, unless you have the discipline to work on the weaker lifts, that imbalance is going to continue to grow and grow and grow. Now, it becomes particularly problematic if you've got a hell of a squat, but you can't deadlift for jack. And why is that important? Because when the quads are that strong, and the hips and the hamstrings and the posterior chain, the lower back, the glutes and the hamstrings are that weak, it's just a matter of time.
Time for what? For an injury?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't normally see it to such an extent that a lifter will get so far out of balance that an injury will occur there. Because let's face it, you know, there is some hamstring involvement in squats. It's not like they're not worked at all. But if I see somebody that's that far out of whack, then it's time to prioritize.
Okay, and that's exactly the next question. Okay, so hold on, Rob. And you said the word prioritize, okay? Yep. So actually, his second question was about holding back on squat progression, which is really what we're talking about here when we talk about prioritize, which actually leads to Thomas Cannon's question, which we addressed a little bit on the Blueprint Power Hour, but also Thomas is a very talented 27-year-old, 240 pounds. He's a power lifter and a bodybuilder. He's got a great physique, but obviously strength is very important to him. And so his question was also, if he starts to prioritize on the weaker body parts because of the weaker lifts, for instance, how often should he train the quote-unquote, you know, body parts that he's cruising with while prioritizing and focusing on a weaker body part to bring it up? Now, Wade, do you have any okay, so your squat is really, really strong, and you can get stronger and stronger in the squat progressively, but let's say another lift that's not as strong, will you train it 2 to 3 times more frequently than your squat if you all of a sudden changed your goal and said, I've got to get stronger in my deadlift, or I've got to get stronger in my bench press?
Well, no, I don't increase the frequency that I train the lift. I will look at, you know, what I need to do, you know, to bring that lift up, because I think that the thing is you always want to address the weaknesses, but the real trick is, how do I keep, you know, what is strong,
right,
maintain that strong, you know, that strong point. So I try to address, like, my assistants that I have on my squat day, I will, you know, generally use something like reverse hypers, you know, certain things of that nature that will also have a benefit to my deadlift. And the thing is that I make sure for me to have enough gas in the tank because I squat early in the week. You know, I think a lot of the problem that we have also is our traditional template, which mine is, you know, we bench Monday, we squat Tuesday, and, you know, then you have a day off, then you do something for bench on Thursday, and then you deadlift Friday. And at that point in the week, you know, especially if you know, you're like me, you have a job, and then you have, you know, an extra job or whatever the case may be, and we have families, you start to run out of gas at that point in the week. So the big thing is to have the discipline to make sure you're addressing the issues that need to be, you know, taken care of, so you're bringing that lift up and not creating imbalances. And that's why I said with the first question, you know, not knowing, you know, seeing the guy lift or what his training protocol is, it's hard to say what he's doing and not doing. But there's not a reason to panic. It's the thing is that you've got to be disciplined to make sure that you're addressing any of those issues that are weak, so you're bringing that lift up. And so for me, as opposed to increasing my volume or the frequency that I train the lift, I try to set my assistants up to make sure that I'm addressing, you know, whatever my needs may be. I think if you start pulling more frequently than once a week, I think you're going to run into trouble.
Now, Rob, what about this? Everybody comes, you know, everybody starts the week off strong, right? They have the whole weekend off, 2 days to eat, relax, rest. You come back into the gym, and you start off with your weakest body part generally, your weakest lifts at the beginning of the week because you're just so relaxed, revived, and strong. Why not just take 2 days off in between each of the weaker body parts so that every time you train them, it's like you're coming off of a relaxing weekend?
Bingo.
Oh, you really? Just... Holy crap. Did you hear that? I got something right.
You know, sometimes we miss the obvious in this sport, and a lot of that is because, you know, there's a very strong work ethic amongst people that lift weights.
Some of us are almost OCD about lifting until we get hurt. I know.
Right. We won't name names, but there are people like that out there.
Right.
In any case, the lesson to be taken away from that is this. If you are noticing that more rest time or rest days are benefiting you and you're coming back stronger each time, then let's take a lesson from that and incorporate it into your training frequency template. And try not to look at it as, I need to be in the gym 3 days a week. No, you don't. You need to be in the gym as often as you can productively, you know, gain strength from session to session. And what I usually advise guys is, and this is a general recommendation, keep in mind I have to write prescriptions for everybody from teenagers to oldsters, but as you begin any new program, start with a one-on, two-off frequency pattern. Now, I'm not saying don't do anything on those 2 days, right? Active recovery is a general physical preparedness, cardio, you know, as long as you're not lowering a weight, which is damaging muscle tissue, but one-on, two-off. One on, two off. If you're gaining strength progressively, stick with it, but periodically reevaluate that workout training frequency about once every 10 days. Because if you notice your strength starts to slow down, then there needs to be an adjustment that needs to be made. And it's very simple. As you grow stronger from workout to workout, you lift heavier weights for more repetitions. It logically follows that the stresses are increasing on the body. The body needs time, and only time, to supercompensate and grow larger and stronger. And again, that doesn't mean you necessarily sit on the couch. Just be aware of the fact that that is a physiological fundamental law that can't be violated. You know, you stimulate muscle growth, you recover, and then you grow. If you go back in that gym before that process is completed, and a lot of guys do, you're going to start to go backwards.
You know, I made some of my best progress with a one-on, two-off approach years ago. And you're right. It really and the nice thing about the one-on, two-off approach is that every single time you come into the gym, you're pretty much recovered. And what you pointed out just now, Rob, is really critical to understand. While every time you get stronger, you increase the ability to make deeper inroads into the type of damage that causes stimuli. But you may be getting stronger, but you are not there is not a concomitant recovery increase. In other words, now that you're stronger, you recover faster too. And this is even true of drug-using athletes. One of the biggest mistakes that drug-using athletes make is they think that because they take the drugs, they can pound themselves into the dirt. No, that's not the case. Far few people take enough time off when they get really strong because they're making deeper inroads into damaging their body, but they're not recovering any faster.
I'd be curious to hear Wade's opinion on this, but...
Go ahead. No, we're going to hear it right now.
In my opinion, in the absence of an objective diagnostic tool that says, it's time to train again, your best indicator is this. If you feel a strong disinclination to train, this is your mind talking to you and sometimes your body and saying, oh, God, I'm dragging. I'm looking at these numbers. I don't think I'm going to hit them. I just don't have a strong inclination to train. Then don't. Take an extra day and wait until your body and your brain tell you this. Man, I can't wait to get in there today and tear it up.
What do you think about that, Wade?
I don't disagree with that. It is not a protocol that I could follow, and we've covered this very well on this show, because I am too much of I'm a nutball. I would do more damage to myself by not being in the gym. Now, that being said, when you look at my training, you can't compare it, you know, to yours or anyone else's, because I've spent years, you know, working up to the workload that I use. And then the thing that I am disciplined about, and Rob and I have actually had discussions off air, is like with my shoulder work. You will never see me heaving 50-pound dumbbells in the side raise, you know, or anything of that nature. It's very moderate to even very lightweight that I do for repetitions. So, you know, for me, you know, the time off is more of a detriment to me, you know, than being in the gym. But I've also been doing this long enough and am disciplined, you know, to make sure that I'm paying attention to how I feel and how I eat and, you know, and how I supplement and what the things that I do to recover.
Yeah.
So, but by the same token, I agree. Well, there are times where my guys will come in and I can see by the look in their eyes, you know, that they're spent. And unless they're close to a meet, I'll just tell them, you know what? Ride the bike. Let's, you know, just get some blood flow and we'll do a few things on the machines and just kind of chill out. You know, because a lot of times the inactivity, you know, for my guys that compete is often as much a detriment as not getting enough rest. So we do something, you know, to get the blood flow and the habit of being in the gym. But it is not uncommon that periodically that, you know, they've got to, you know, take some time off, or like I'll have them on Wednesdays and Saturdays when we're doing the auxiliary work or GPP, go, don't, I will see you Monday or I will see you Thursday. Do not come in. You need to get the extra sleep and the extra rest.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got a really, really good question from Alexander Jackins. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. This is Superhuman Radio, and you are a superhuman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
how's what he's going me, but where to begin?
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
You already know how great the Testa 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testa 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testa 100 patch today. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, this next question comes from Alex Jackins from Washington, D.C. He says, I have a question, for the roundtable discussion with Rob and Wade. If Carl can speak well enough to read my question, it'd be great. Do you think post-activation potentiation is a training modality that could be effective for strength and hypertrophy? And if so, how would you go about implementing it? I am intrigued by an article that I read recently that applied a form of PAP to a chest routine. In this article, it took an exercise like the bench press and performed the following set rep sequences. One set at your one rep max for one rep. Set two, 10 reps at 85% of your one rep max. Repeat for a total of 8 sets. I could see how the one rep set would potentially activate more muscle fibers to aid you in the higher rep set. And, parenthetically, mentally, also trick you into believing that the weight is lighter than it is. However, I'm not sure that what the appropriate rest intervals would be between sets to maximize the effects of the one rep set. also would it would appear to be fairly taxing on the central nervous system. So I'm curious as to how often one could use this training modality. Now, Rob, have you heard of this this post-activation potentiation approach?
I have, but I suspect it's out there. I read about it under a different name. If you go back and read the Poliquin Principles by Charles Poliquin, he speaks in there of something called the something very similar. I can't remember. I want to say he wrote an article entitled The 5% Solution, which is very similar to this, but it's clearly a form of heavy loading, lighter loading, heavy loading, lighter loading. And do these things work? Yes. Do they? But like everything else, you know, they don't work forever. So the challenge becomes, where do I place this in my training? How often can I use it productively? And how many times can I milk this in any given week, month, year, whatever it may be? So the short answer to his question is, yes, these things exist, they work, they take advantage of the central, of manipulating largely the central nervous system, but they're not a long-term solution. It's a short-term solution to get over a sticking point.
It's something that you do from time to time, in other words.
Yeah, and, you know, like any training stimuli, the body's primary and sole concern, right, is adaptation. And that's because its survival is the bottom line. And it will adapt, and it will adapt quickly, especially in elite-level athletes. And it is the reps of all the variables involved in weight training, I feel strongly, that is the number of repetitions that your body will adapt to the quickest. So in this case, it's going to see a 1.6 or a 1.8 and flip-flopping between those two rep ranges. And that'll work, but it'll only work for so long.
What about the rest in between the eight sets? I mean, that's got to be something that you can manipulate over time and create more density as well. You know, I mean, would you start out with 90 seconds rest and then in between each of these eight sets?
I think that's it's a fair question. The answer is it depends. In large part, that's going to be an individual thing. How well conditioned is this athlete? What is the athlete's baseline work capacity? Because if you do not have a large work capacity or ability to do work over a longer period of time, that a program like that, you can drop through the cellar on it. Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, he does have a strong base of work capacity, there's a higher likelihood that that program is going to work and work well for him. Just, you know, understand that as far as the rest periods go, if you're going to lift real heavy, it benefits you to rest a little longer than if you were prior to going into the higher repetition set. There, you could rest a little shorter. That's where you want to cut down your rest periods and improve the total density, the workout, the total amount of tonnage you move per unit of time. That's how you would jack that number up. Rest shorter prior to the higher rep set, longer prior to the one rep max set.
Wade, what about this type of a, it's really just a drop set. You do one rep max, one rep boom, and then you drop the weight down to 85% and you do 10 reps. You rest and you do it again and you do this eight times. What do you think what could you benefit from this?
For me, and I don't disagree with Rob, you know, because basically my training is so strength and power specific. This would be something that I would stay away from, or I would do it like once in a while, just as a change of pace, or you know, or as a challenge. But the principle of having the drop set is not any different than what we do for bench press, which we've done a show on, where on our raw flat bench day we do two working sets of six. We drop 20 pounds and we do a set of eight, and we do the same thing each week for decline. But the idea is we're going to, you know, pre-exhaust the muscles, and then to get a certain amount of volume, we'll drop a little bit of weight and try to get those extra reps. My concern with something like this, especially for the strength athlete, is not unlike Rob's. You know, this is a very short-term thing. And I would suspect that, you know, if somebody stays at this too long, the potential for injury is going to increase exponentially. So for me and for the strength athlete, this is something that I would kind of stay away from. As far as rest intervals, we make a minimum. You have a cycle, and Rob can speak better to this than I can, where your body replenishes with ATP, so on and so forth. And so we try to rest a minimum of 7 minutes on our heavy sets. And then where we make up the time, so to speak, or where we go quicker is on our assistance. If I'm doing rows, then we'll rest maybe a minute and, you know, our superset and rest a minute. But with for strength, you know, something like this, I would be concerned about. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay.
I just think once you do a one rep max and then you start throwing reps on top of that, I worry about, you know, the muscles and even the central nervous system during the session being compromised. Once you get to that and you start doing reps, I think it's something that you may have problems with. So that's why we stray away from it.
Okay. Now,
Wade nailed it. The only point I'd like to add is when you're doing the higher reps, you're working more of the adenosine triphosphate phosphocreatine system. That system will replenish itself within about 3 minutes. Conversely, when you're working with a one rep max in the 90th percentile or greater, that is much more central nervous system related, and it takes anywhere between, you know, 10 and the former Soviet teams rested 20 minutes or more before attempting that one rep max again. Just understand and respect the differences in recovery time between the energy systems.
Okay.
See, I told you he'd say it better than I did.
There you go. We just got a last, like literally last second post on the Superhuman Radio Network question. We're going to try to answer here real quick. And it's from Swarup Tibby. He says, my bench is the weakest lift. Progress is very slow. Halfway to lockout is where I have real problems with strength. What is or are good assistance exercises to really strengthen this part of the lift? And then he has something else to say. So what do you think? We'll start with you, Rob.
Okay, two solutions. Number one, wide grip bench press. Don't go too wide, but the wide grip will build the bench off of the chest, will add a lot of power to getting the bar moving. Secondly, if it's stalling about halfway up, that is a good case for the speed work that we discussed earlier. Because moving the bar quickly, or at least training his central nervous system to do so, is going to get him past that sticking point.
Mm-hmm.
So wide grip benches, speed work. I think you're going to notice a big difference, and it'll get you over the hump.
What do you think, Wade?
I would agree with the speed work. I don't disagree with anything he said. The whole reason why we have our second day with the close grip decline is to develop pressing power. The other thing that I would suggest is that one of the things that we've done in the past, especially with lifters that stall about halfway up, as opposed to looking at a muscle weakness, I always, again, not seeing this guy lift, I would assume that, you know, that the issue is more technical than a weakness. So what I've had my lifters do is we will do a, when they bring the bar down and touch, I'll have them do a 2-1,000 count pause. I'll go 1-1,000, 2-1,000 press. And it creates an urgency to get that weight moving because you're having a static hold, touching your chest.
Yeah.
And so it's a little different than speed work because we'll generally do, you know, three sets of three, you know, to address that issue. So that's one of the things that we've used is we use the decline press on a second bench day that allows you to develop that pressing power. And then on our flat bench day, after we've done our competition training, I'll have them use just a moderate weight. And 50 to 75%, it all depends on your work capacity and how you feel, and you'll hold that weight, 1-1,000, 2-1,000 press, and you will be surprised at how quickly you'll start busting through that sticking point.
Well, here's something funny. The second part of his question may actually elucidate why he's having trouble. He says, another thing is when the weight gets heavy, about 85% or more, in the bench press. My elbows feel uncomfortable and sometimes painful at the bottom of the press. It makes me hesitate to try and explode out of the bottom, making the top half even a bigger problem. What do you, I mean, it sounds to me that even in the lighter weight, he's, the reason that he's having some of these problems is because he's anticipating that his elbows are going to hurt him.
Yeah. You know, in plain English, here it is again. As the weight gets heavier, the bar is getting slower. And I think his comments related to his elbows and some of the pain that he's feeling there is indicative of, hey, there's your weak link. You know, the triceps, and Westside hammers this point home, the triceps are numero uno when it comes to, you know, making sure that they are not the weak link. Why? Because they get the bar moving in the bench press. Now, yes, there are a lot of other muscle groups involved, but if you're having the conscious thought, oh, my gosh, you know, my elbows, what did he say?
They start to hurt. They start to hurt at the bottom of the press.
They start to hurt. Well, you know, that's likely the tricep at point of origin all the way up to insertion. You know, make sure that you're doing diligence to your tricep work.
Well, he also could have some soft tissue issues as well. He could have some micro tears, you know, that would need to be addressed.
If the lifter gets stuck, I'm noticing, in a certain position on the bench press, the elbows will flail. Instead of staying in tight, they start to flail out, and, you know, towards the 90
puts even more pressure on the elbows, yeah.
Absolutely.
Wait, you were going to jump in there. What were we going to say?
Well, I think one of the things, again, what I would urge, email both of us, Facebook both of us. I want to see video of this lifter's bench press, and so I can specifically see what's going on. One of the things that I think people take for granted is it doesn't matter your strength levels, is warming up. I use a muscle rub or something, you know, on my biceps and triceps and the elbow area when I bench, and use braces. Use something that's going to be, you know, give you some support and keep that joint warm. And if you're having those types of problems, if it's painful, then make sure you're icing it. You know, on your way to work, take a bag of peas, strap it to that elbow with an ACE wrap, and these are the simple day-to-day things that you can do to prehab and rehab those joints. I would almost suspect, too, that it's not just the tricep that's an issue, is that I'm willing to bet that there is some bicep tendonitis going on, and I always suggest, as part of the assistance for the bench press, take three sets, anywhere from 12 to 25 reps of a moderate to even light weight, and do hammer curls,
yeah,
and really throw some blood into the bicep tendon. And a lot of times that is indicative of an issue. We think it's elbow, but a lot of times it's tendonitis. But again, not seeing the lifter, it would be hard to say, but based on what he's saying, I would bet, along with what Rob said, brace those elbows and make sure you're warming them up. And if he's anticipating pain, you know, then he's going to be slow, and that's going to be why he's having a sticking problem midway up.
Okay.
Take just one
look at Wade's training templates that are out there. The amount of due diligence that is done to warming up with very light weights for many sets by Wade Johnson, who is the elite of the elite. You know, and I took this lesson away from it. If Wade's doing that, I better be doing it.
Right.
And we all should be doing it.
That's right. We have one thing I want to read, and then we have to take a break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Wade's training. Remember Avakai Khalij from Israel? He talked about his front squat, having problems with his front squat.
Yes.
Okay. Well, he emailed. Remember, and I said I'd love to know why. You know why he's doing this. You know, is he a competitive athlete? Or he emailed this back. He says, "I hope." No, wait. That's page two. I got to get to this. This is the good part. He says, "Boy, I'll tell you, I'd fire me if I was my boss." He says, "I hope it doesn't sound like I'm blaming you, but I'm a product of your show. You had many people who contradicted each other over the years. Are they wrong? No. This is the experience. Your show taught me to try for myself stuff and see if it works. great. If not, nothing bad happened. When you see yourself training for as long as you can in life, one bad session or a couple are a drop in the ocean. So when we were asked about why he's trying to do the front squats, and it's because he feels like, we've talked about things on this show. He goes on and talks about all the different guests that have been on the show and how it's inspired him to train harder. And so there you go. He's not a competitive athlete, but he is a superhuman. That's basically what he's saying there.
Let me add to that real quick.
Yeah.
Just for everyone out there, because I get email, you know, I had the worst session today. And we have a simple philosophy. The only bad session is the one you miss. You know, so you go in the gym and you get what work you can get done. And I've said this on this show before. If you walk in and you have 70%, give your session 100% of that 70 that you have, and be grateful and feel blessed that you're able to go in and train. And, you know, and my encouragement to this guy is don't give up. Don't give up. You know, we had a follow-up email from another listener about this guy, and, he addressed some very specific issues that he was correct in. You know, make some simple adjustments, whether it be foot width or how you hold the bar. You know, as long as you can do it safely, there is not a wrong way, in my opinion. You find a way to get it done and then reap the benefit, and, you know, and always take what we say with a little bit of a grain of salt,
right?
Because there's so many of us that have different ways of doing it. I'm not a big West Side trainee guy, but Louis's one of, you know, a pal of mine, and I love the guy, and I always listen, so, you know, in case I can glean something that will help my training.
Right.
You know, and Rob and I are very different in our approach. You know, but we will find that there's more that we have in common, you know, versus what we have different. You got it. You try it. If it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, then you drop it and you move on to the next thing until you find something that sticks and works for you. But the only bad session we have in the gym is the one that we miss.
Yeah, I agree. You want to say something before we go into the break, Rob?
No, that's good, solid advice. And, you know, Wade said something very powerful.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. I'm sorry.
It's a blessing to be in there, guys, and to have the strong body and mind that God gave you, because you may just find yourself at a point in life where it's all you have left and it's everything.
You know, it's funny because when he said that, I was thinking of myself. Like, I can't train very hard right now because I have some things going on. But I can still go in there and train harder than most people. And when he said that, I thought, you know what? Why don't I feel that way? When I'm in the gym, instead of me saying to myself, I want to be lifting heavier, why am I not saying I am blessed to be able to lift as heavy as I am right now, given what's going on with me? That's really profound.
Yep, indeed. Indeed it is.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And to those of you who have been listening to me for the whole 8 years, isn't there always something going on with me? Oh, my God. I'm really getting tired of me. I got to tell you the truth. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to catch up on Coach Wade Johnson's training as he gets ready to compete again. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. Stay tuned. Self-esteem makes it seem like the thought took years to
build, but still say a rhyme after the next one. Those two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
I have to give an honorable mention to a couple people here for contributing to the show. The first one, Wade Johnson actually referred to a moment ago, who gave some really good tips on Avakai's front squat issues. And that is, I don't know if it's Courtney or David, and the last name is Hume, H-U-L-M-E. Thank you very much for your contribution to the show. Also, I want to thank... I got to get his name here. Hold on a second. And he actually is always thinking, it's Garland Arvine, always sending me good suggestions for guests. I want to thank him also for continuing to listen and contribute to the show. And all of the people whose questions were read, including the honorable mentions just now, will receive House of Pain t-shirts. You can get a House of Pain t-shirt yourself by sending a question to the panel through onair@superhumanradio.com. And don't worry about sending your size and address. If your question is selected, I'll email you and ask you for your size and address. So there you go. Okay, so Coach Johnson, you have been posting your progress diligently, not only on your website, Johnson, it's johnsonstrengthtraining.com, right?
The Facebook page is Johnson Strength.
Okay, and then the website is...
JohnsonStrengthGroup.com.
Group, okay. And you've been posting your training logs and your videos there. So talk to us. How is training going?
It's going very well. This past week, I've started getting into the bench shirt, and the biggest thing there is getting accustomed to just the pressure and being, you know, having the crap squeezed out of me in the shirt again. I'm closing in. I was in a single-ply shirt, and I'm pretty comfortable that I'm capable of, I benched 545. I'm probably in the range of 600 pounds given a few more weeks in the shirt just to get accustomed, to being in it. So I'm, that excites me because the goal was just to bench 600 again. And, so once we get into the more radical gear, hopefully we'll see that number go up. Squat training, you know, again, that's the lift, you know, that I seem to really flourish with. But what surprises me so far is that as we're starting to get into heavier weights and I'm in my second week in a double ply suit, is that I'm comfortable. There's nothing that seems to be really heavy or really taxing. This week, did three sets of two with 750 and it felt like, you know, I ran through the weight fairly easily. And then when I went to the raw lifts, did a close stance, squat. I did a few sets of triples with 505 and again wasn't under too much duress. So I feel like my progress is good there given that I'm still a pretty good ways out. I'm in a speed, type portion of my training for deadlift. We're still front squatting and trap bar deadlifting fairly heavy. But this, let's see, past Friday I front squatted 485, which is as heavy as I've been, in over a year. So I'm feeling, the knee is feeling good. It's recovering better each week. I don't have nearly the bouts of soreness that I have in the past. So I feel like that number will start going up. And as that number goes up, generally my deadlift goes up. And I'm handling in the mid 600s now on the trap bar without a belt, without any issue, fairly quickly. You know, I mean, it's not a speedy pull, but it's quick. And I'm still doing, some speed work from the floor, the singles as opposed to reps and keeping the rest interval short. Last week was 485. I did 12 singles with about 60 seconds rest. And based on the video, 1, 6, and 12, I think 12 looked as good as the first one. So, and I'm keeping the weight static in the decline. Just keeping it three sets of eight at 500 pounds, and that keeps me from getting too beat up. And as long as I stay disciplined, I don't go crazy and try to do anything, you know, over the top, you know, as far as heavy. Now, the thing that is new and that is going on, and I'm trying not to be too long-winded, on my auxiliary days, which is Wednesday and Saturday, I have threatened for years to do an Olympic lifting meet, and recently contacted a coach friend of mine, CrossFit CFT here in Nashville. And I went to his place Saturday and we kind of tore down one of the lifts, the snatch, tore down the form. And, I'm training that twice a week and I will be doing an Olympic lifting meet, it looks like, in September. So along with the powerlifting meet in December, I'm gonna just kind of get my feet wet and go through the process of doing an Olympic lifting meet sometime in September.
Wow, really? That's exciting.
Yeah.
Rob, have you been looking at Wade's training log and videos? I know that you got a lot going on right now. Have you had a chance to look at any of them?
I have, and it's you know, it's inspiring stuff just to see the kind of poundages that a true drug-free lifter can move. To say nothing of the fact that, you know, Wade, you're 47 now, is that correct?
I'm 40. I will be 47 next month.
We keep trying to make him older. I keep saying, as soon as he turns 47, I'm going to start asking him if he's going to be 48 soon.
And, you know, we touched on this a couple episodes ago. You know, age, I said it at the time, I think we both did, Wade, age is no longer the barrier that everybody made it out to be. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. Wade clearly has that will, and there is no doubt in my mind that he is going to achieve the goals that he has set out for himself. So I'm just having a blast watching it, learning from it, and trying to incorporate the things that he does. And little things, like I just mentioned, you know, doing diligence to your warm-ups. It's great stuff, and I appreciate you sharing that, Wade, with me and the world.
Now,
one of the things that we talked about with the deadlift and how to bring up the hamstrings versus, you know, the isolation machines and stuff like that, one of the things Rob suggested was doing the Romanian deadlift, and I'm like, and I think I said it on the show, I've not done those in years, and I'm like, you know what, that's probably probably one of the spots that I need to actually work on is my hamstring strength, because by the time I get done with the workout, you know, I do stiff leg deadlifts and stuff like that, but, you know, I tend to, once I get done with front squat, then trap bar, and then pulling from the floor, I'm pretty damn tired, you know, and probably hungry, so it's like I'm looking for a reason to get out of the gym. And when he said that, I was like, you know, I used to do so well with those, and I don't have an answer as to why I quit doing them. So as I said, anytime I add something new, I will go exceptionally light. I think I posted a video on Rob's Facebook page. You know, I think I started at 245, did a couple of sets of six as a finishing movement, and then last week I went up to 355. So and everything feels good. There was no soreness, no weirdness. Mm-hmm. So look for a video tomorrow, and you know, we'll try to do a couple of sets of six in the 400 plus pound range, and see how they go, see how the form looks. And it's just one of those things that, you know, that it's never, you never know where you're going to learn something. And Rob making that suggestion, I was like, you know, I need to try to do those again. I think that's a good finishing movement for me. So, you know, that take it from where you can get it, learn where you can. And, you know, and again, like we're suggesting for this young man front squatting, you know, stick with it, see if it's going to make some benefit for you, and go from there. So that's what we're doing. And I got to say, at this point, no more, you know, I'm eating a lot cleaner, and what I'm supplementing with is the pre-workout. I do a few joint things and Rob's Mass Pro Synthogen, and I feel great.
That's great. That really is good. Okay, so we will continue to follow your training and cheer you on. And you're going to compete in Cincinnati, is that correct, in December?
At this point, I don't have the date in front of me. It's probably going to be the first weekend of December, I think, is when it's scheduled. It'll be in Cincinnati. I'm not sure exactly the location, but it'll be with the SPF. Jesse Rogers, the president of the SPF and owner, a great friend of mine, is going to be running the meet in conjunction with Laura and Shane Sweat, Laura Phelps Sweat and Shane Sweats of the Sweat Shop in Cincinnati. They're really, really good friends of mine, and we go back a ways. So I'm going to go there where I'm with familiar people and know what, you know, the familiar equipment, and see what happens. The Olympic lifting meet, I want to say, is in Johnson City, and that is sometime in September. I'll post about it as we get a little closer, if anybody's in East Tennessee and wants to see a big fat guy lift only a little bit of weight over his head. You know, because there will be women that will probably be handing me my ass, and that's not a sexist statement. The training that I got, Polo Lopez is the guy that owns that CrossFit gym, and his fiance Carissa is an amazing Olympic lifter, and she, you know, she's a little bitty thing, and it's amazing at not only the weight she can move, but how quickly she can do it. So it's one of those things that I'm going to humble myself and go, I'm not going into this with any ego. If anybody is watching my training, you can see that the weights that I'm using is about half of, you know, what I've been, you know, what I've done in the past, because I'm working on form. And my sole goal with this Olympic lifting meet is to do what I've said I was going to do for about the past 15 years and compete in a contest, and two, to get my feet wet, to see what it's all about, and see if this is something that I'm going to pursue. At one point in time, my lifts were good enough that I could have made the Masters national team, and, you know, that will be the goal. If I go into this and everything feels good, then I'll continue doing it as I go down in weight, and, you know, try to pursue that aspect of strength as well.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Rob, anything going on in your neck of the woods that you want to talk about? Any upcoming seminars or working on any new books, anything like that?
Yeah, I'm actually putting the finishing touches on the next Superhuman University.
You want to say what it is? Should we tease them?
Yeah, let's tease it. How to put 100 pounds on your bench press. And yes, you will be able to do that. Now, I can't promise you I can't give you a time frame. That's obviously not going to happen overnight. But the roadmap, I have laid out a roadmap of six very carefully chosen and arranged loading patterns, workout training frequency, suggested supplementation protocols so you can recover from.
Robbie,
I think.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah.
No, absolutely. You dropped out for a second. So the training protocol, so you can recover from these training sessions and everything. It's all going to be inclusive, right?
Yeah. It's going to be worth its weight in gold. You know, as you know, I put everything I have into these, and I'm excited for it, and I'm excited to see the results guys get from it because it's worked for me, it's worked for other people, and I know it will work for those that attend.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Well, this has been another episode. Oh, and we must acknowledge one other thing. Julia Nails Johnson is in the gym regularly now and progressing as well, isn't she? And I'm not going to refer to her by the affectionate name that you seem to put all over the internet. But Elisa goes to me, that is so cute, a big guy like that calling her Buttercup. I said,
that's one of those things I said, you know, what's up, Buttercup, and it's stuck. And she, you know, if I don't call her that regularly, she assumes that there is a problem.
That's cute.
I got to say this, you know, giving all the things that I've been through in my lifetime and the choices that I've made, it is just amazing that, you know, that the gym time is important. She refers to, we decline on Thursday, and that's fun night for her. It's the lift that she's, you know, that she's really accelerating with.
Right.
And, the amount of support, I mean, you've seen the pictures if you see my Facebook page at all. I bought us a new grill and I haven't even gotten to touch it yet. And she's, you know, she's,
I saw all those steaks and stuff, right?
Yeah. The 10 to 20 pounds of chicken, you know, at a time. And, not only is she being supportive, but she's in there. I mean, she's busting her ass and really working hard and really wants to be part of it and is a part of it. And, you know, there is nothing, you know, a man is only as good as the woman that's standing next to him, you know, and I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
And for me at this point in my life to be this blessed, you know, and that she is, you know, is part of my life is pretty immense and is one of the focal points of me being successful at this point in my life. So, I mean, I can't say enough good things about how supportive she is.
Yeah. And I see that in you too. I see you're a different guy right now. You really, really are.
No question about it.
It's a wonderful thing to see. All right. Well, listen, we've come to the end of the show. We hope everybody got something out of it. Please send your questions to onair@superhumanradio.com. These are questions about training, modalities, getting stronger. I'd like to get some questions from women. I want to know that the women are finding that it's important to be strong in the gym too. I've said this time and time again. It's more important for women to be strong as they age than it is for men. So send your questions to onair@superhumanradio.com. If your question is chosen for the panel, you will receive a House of Pain t-shirt. And please patronize House of Pain. Go to superhumanradio.com. Click the House of Pain banner ad today. Guys, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Always great to be with you guys.
Okay. Talk to you guys later. All right. And that's another episode. Tomorrow's Friday. We should have a casual Friday for you. See you then. Thanks for listening.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.